Turn to Matthew 21 this morning. Matthew 21. How many know he took it? Huh? How many know he needed to take it? How many know without him you'd still have it? Have what? You'd still have the burden of your sin. If Jesus hadn't taken it, which he did, he took it. It's done. Now, you got a God. We have God. God, you know, made the place. God made the world, made the entire thing. And we were extricated from him by our own sin. We were taken out from him by our own sin. Yet, he didn't abandon me. Amen? The guy does not abandon me. He doesn't abandon me. Well, write that one off. No, he doesn't. He's after me. He's chasing after me. He loves me. Go figure. What for? You know, can't he find? The problem is he can't find anybody better. Amen? I mean, who else is he going to choose? Well, he'll choose the good people. What good people? Do you know any good people? Hallelujah. Do you ever get mad at how they portray the Christians on these TV shows? Hey, that's us. Amen? Well, no, that wasn't me. Well, sure it is. Amen. You're just getting all mad about it. No, it's me. I am just that wicked. I'm that ugly. You know, I'm that full of myself. Amen? Aren't you? Are you like me? Huh. Praise the Lord. It's exciting. But God loves me. He doesn't love the stuff I do, but he loves me. And he wants me. He wants to get me into his group. Because he knows, you know, if I'm in, then he can fill me up. Then he can do things to restore me. And all I'm doing is just believing that he'll do it. Not all the things that I failed to do. How many things did I fail to do? All of them. I failed to do all of them. Amen? Somebody say amen. Say, isn't that good? Yeah, say it out loud in church. I failed to do all of them. Hallelujah. Thank God that he gave his body and he gave his blood. He did. Now let's look here. Chapter 21 of Matthew. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, saying in Zechariah chapter 9, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. They put their clothes on them like a saddle, you know, put their clothes over them. And they set him on there, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the street, like if it's the street, they spread all their garments and stuff just going up into the street, just right up here. Why would they do that? Man, dirty clothes. I mean, they don't have streets like we do, concrete, you know. That was just a dirty road, you know. Probably some rocks. You put some rocks in it, you know. But you put your garments down there, all right? So they put the garments on there. They spread their garments of the ways. Others cut down branches. And we got this kind of branches over there. That's what these are. Anybody know what these are? Palm branches? Yeah. That's what it is. Palm Sunday. You ever heard of that? That's what today is. I'm just giving a little history, just so you know what all this is about. It's Palm Sunday. Singing, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Praises! Glory to him! They were worshiping him as God. They were worshiping him. Now, this is a week before the crucifixion. This is a week before the crucifixion, okay? There's people just like you and me. You know? See somebody good on television? Man, we like them. You know, see somebody good, you know, you're like, yeah. Boy, that's the good one. We'll support that. You know, we're going to support this big shot here. This is the guy who looks like he's got some He's got something. He's going to make it for us. He's going to produce. He's going to be the big hope. You know, the hope of the world, the hope of the city. How many know we're good on that kind of stuff? You know, we think somebody's going to save us. Amen? We think somebody's going to save us. Now, they did have prophecies that had to do with the Messiah coming. But problem is, when you get talking to God, you're not quite sure exactly all that He's talking about. See, when He's going to send a Messiah to save you, you think it's to save you from the bad guys. Right? Oh, yeah, we need a Savior from the bad guys. Little do you know, the bad guy is you. You just lacked opportunity. The other guy is the bad guy, and he's sitting up on the big chair, making the big salary, and putting you under his feet. It's only because he had the opportunity, and you missed out, or you're too dumb. You know, but he took up on it, and he got there. But he's the same as you. You know, people don't like to hear that. You know, here's the deal. Is Jesus came for you. Jesus came for who? Did He come for good people? He came for, say it louder.
Unrighteous.
Sinners. Unrighteous. That's a little fancy. Sinners. He came for people who... Jesus came so that I could get connected with my Father. Jesus came so that I could be connected with my Father again. Didn't He? Huh? He did. That's the reason He came. So that's the only reason. He didn't come for so I could, be better. What He came for is so that I could be drawn into the presence of my Father. His Father. It's the reason He came. He didn't come to make your life, to give you a better marriage, a better family, better this and a better that. You know that'll happen? You know that'll happen? But He didn't come for that. He came for one reason, is to take your sin upon Himself. He came to take your sin upon Himself so that the kingdom of God could be made manifest in this world, in you. The kingdom of God is not heaven later. The kingdom of God is heaven now. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I said the kingdom of God is heaven now. Now, I mean, you're going to live, you'll get to a heaven thing later, right? It's just like all your sins will be gone later. I mean, they may few kind of drift off now, but you're not going to see a lot of that. How many still have sin just crop up day after day? Anybody? Yeah. They just crop up day after day. Here they are. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it because I have a promise. Because God loves me. He said He did. He didn't say, shape up. He said, I love you. Verse 9, and the multitudes went before and that followed, so a bunch in front of Him, a bunch behind Him, cried loudly, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They were calling Him the Messiah. When they said that, when they said those words, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. This is the guy. And so you have the Pharisees and the church and the religious leaders scared to death. They don't buy this. All they know is that's the end of their program. That's the end of their life as they know it. If this guy, because they're afraid, he's here to make a kingdom. You know what Jesus was here to do? He was here to die, wasn't he? Jesus was here not to make a kingdom, and man, they got him. They knocked him down. Man, I wish he would have made it. Don't you wish he would have made it? Huh? I mean, yeah, he had it so good that first day coming in town. He had a great day. You know, everybody likes you. Problem is, then you don't take advantage of it. If it was me, I'd probably take advantage of it. If y'all all liked me, I'd probably take advantage of you. You know, enjoy myself. Jesus here, all he did was kind of spit on them. Amen. He wasn't interested in doing anything to make himself anything. He was interested in one thing. He was interested in one thing. Redeeming you. He was interested in one thing, is paying the price for you. Amen? That's all he wanted to do. See, we have to meditate on this. It's kind of like, I know that. I know that. We preach this every Easter. Well, number one, I don't like Easter because I never heard it in the Bible. And number two, the truth is you need to hear it. You need to remember. Remember what he said? Remember these things. Remember these things. Remember these things. They said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were worshiping him as God. But they didn't know what they were doing. They saw a guy that looked good. They were doing the truth. He is God. They know it. They're watching. The people are seeing. They know who he is. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? I mean, he had groups of disciples following him. But he says, you know, many, many people are in the city. Of course, it's coming upon the Passover feast. So many people are coming from all over the countryside, from other places, coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. And he said, who is this? Who's this guy coming in? Everybody's just singing and shouting. Who is it? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were greatly displeased. And said to him, they said to Jesus, do you hear what these say? And Jesus says to them, yes. Have you not read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings have you perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city in Bethany, and he lodged there. This next week, in other portions of the Scripture, they had many opportunities to teach, to share, and to encourage the disciples, and to frustrate the disciples, other guys, the Pharisees, frustrate the religious leaders. He had all of that time. Yet he was not making himself dear. Because the day was coming that Jesus came for the one purpose. To give himself up for you. Let's turn over to John chapter 12 for a minute. Now John records some different additional information here regarding the entrance of Jesus. Verse 16, after he had come in to town on the colt. Verse 16 says, these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. And that he had done these things, they had done these things to him, that they had worshipped him, that had, you know, he told them. And then they remembered these things. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, they bore a record. They saw it. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. So there were others following him because of the resurrection of Lazarus, which had taken place not much earlier. But they had gotten around. When people get raised from the dead, it kind of gets around. 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive you how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." The world is... These guys were jealous. These guys were jealous. Because they were the religious leaders. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus Christ as one who is declaring the Word of God. Remember, they told him... Remember, he said... He preached with authority and not like the scribes. You know, the scribes taught, well, Rabbi so-and-so says, and then Rabbi so-and-so says about what Rabbi so-and-so says. So, but Jesus came in and he taught as from the heavens. He taught as from the throne of God. He taught the word of the Lord. They had nothing to answer. They had their program, and that's all they had. The Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, the Jews, had nothing. It was all over, except for the temple. And then God took care of that in a few years. That temple finally went away, didn't it? You know, when Jesus was crucified, the temple veil, which separated the Holy of Holies, that is the place where the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and the lamp were all in that area. And then you have the veil, which separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant sat, where the priest goes in once a year. Where the priest goes in once a year to deliver and to sprinkle the blood that was from the sacrifices upon the Ark of the Covenant for the remission of sins. That veil was a very heavy, heavy veil. When the temple was constructed, it was a very heavy veil. And that veil was rent in two from top to bottom. From the very top to the very bottom. The veil was cut, was rent in two, ripped in two, and it was way high up. 60 feet something. It was way high up. And that thing, I mean, nobody got up there and did that. Now, God was up there, and he did it himself. See, that veil ripped in two because the door was now open. The entrance to God's presence was now open. When Jesus said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost, that is, he died. How many know Jesus died? He did die. He died dead. And then God raised him from the dead. But he died. He spilled his blood. His blood was shed, his blood was spilled. And it blotted out all of my transgressions. Blotted out all the fact that I missed it. You know what sin is? Sin just missing it. I mean, it's pretty simple. Sin just means you missed it. If you're shooting an arrow and you missed, that's what sin is. You missed it. All of those times I've missed it. Jesus paid for all that. His blood paid for all that. See, now, that veil was rent in two, and now I can come and go into the presence of the Father. I can come and go into the presence of you, of the Father, of my Lord, my God. Jesus said, I'm going to your Father, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. See, in that day, he broke open the heaven. What brought us in, where we now have freedom to come in and worship and, and come into the presence of our God. Listen, God created the heavens and the earth for you and me to live and to dwell with Him and to fellowship with Him. He desired you and me to fellowship with Him. And then when sin came in, He created from that moment, from that hour, He created a plan. He created a plan by which He would redeem His people. He would pay for them. And He would bring them back. God's desire is not that you die and burn and be burned up like brush and trash. God's desire is that you be joined to Him. And the only joining is through Jesus Christ. It's the only joining is through faith in this blood right here. This body and this blood, that's the only door. That's the only way, the only means by which you can be received into the kingdom of God. But it's nothing. It's nothing. It's just by faith. It's by faith. It's saying yes. Yes to Jesus. Jesus, I receive what you did. I receive that as the doorway. Jesus said, I'm the door. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. This is where it is. This is where the door is. It's coming in. Now, you know, I've messed up and I've done all kinds of stuff. Now, so what? Are you complaining? You telling me why you can't do nothing? Jesus knows that. I know that. You telling me you got problems? Sure. I got problems. You got problems. We all got problems. Listen to me. Jesus doesn't care about your problems. What He wants is for you to say, Jesus, I need you. I need to give my entire being to you because I can't help my troubles. I have no ability to restore myself. His only interest is in bringing you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. The Father's only interest, because once you get there, once you get there, it's fine. I mean, even if somebody killed you, even if you died, wouldn't matter. Because you're already set. Everything's already written in stone. Amen? You receive Jesus by faith, everything, you're fixed. I'm not talking about your daily problem. Tell you what, you begin to worship Jesus, you begin to spend time in His presence, you begin to get glad. You begin to get happy because you know your end is secure. Amen? You know, the only time we get frustrated is because we're afraid of how it's going to turn out or not. Amen? The only reason you get scared is because you're afraid of how it's going to turn out or not. Jesus said it's already finished. He said it's already finished. Once you receive me and the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, of God Himself, the Father Himself, and He comes and He lives on the inside of you. He comes to live on the inside of you so that you're not afraid anymore. Well, I'm afraid. Listen, you keep getting into the Word of God. If you will study this and open it up and read it, read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, read the Gospels. See, what you begin to do is you begin to change your mind. Your mind begins to become changed from believing in this world, because this is the only world you know, right? You came up in this world. Everybody knows how a light switch works, right? Everybody knows how to put gas in your car, right? You know how this place works. You know how to get a fork to your lips. Everybody knows how this place works. You don't know how the kingdom of God works. But see, here, God has put how the kingdom of God works in this book. And it's not about, well, do this so God will be happy with you. It's not what it's about. All the commands are what God desires, but they're nothing that you can do. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. Apart from him, I can do nothing. You know, and I need to come up, wake up every day with this understanding and this knowledge to leave this world daily. Once I say, Jesus, come on the inside of me. I thank you that you have shed that blood and you took all of my missing it, all of my sins upon your own body. You've done it. And I'm free from the punishment of it. I'm free from the punishment of it. Listen. The punishment of it is just where you're headed without God. The punishment is just where somebody's headed without God. And all God has done is created a means by which you can avoid it. He's provided. You ever been on those mountain roads out there, you know, in some parts of the country where they got the little ramp? The ramp that you're kind of coming down a hill and it's got the ramp that you go up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a ramp that you go up. Yeah, in other words, if you're lost your brakes and it's an escape ramp or slowdown ramp or something like that, okay? That's what this is. He's created the slowdown ramp. It's kind of like you're on your way straight to hell. He kind of created a way to stop you. Okay, turn off here. No, I like the ride. You know, we're like, yeah, no, I want to see what's at the end. Anybody like that? Yeah. Well, that's why he wrote the book. He said, no, you don't want to see what's at the end. It ain't pretty. It's not fun. Okay? It's not good. You don't want to see what's at the end. Believe me. You don't want to see what's at the end. But God made an off-ramp. His name's Jesus. And they'd get on the off-ramp. Made big signs like me. Well, little signs like me. He made signs. You know, get off here! Quick! Before you think it's fun. Listen. This is the reason. He's not after you to be good. He's just out to be in you. So that you and he can have fellowship. But the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, is what he is. And he's saying, this is his character. This is who I am, and this is actually who you are created to be. Before you got on that downhill slide. But God has opened a door. He's provided a way. Through this body and this blood. Now Jesus came in, you know, we're talking about Palm Sunday, I have to talk about it, because it's, you know, today. So he's coming in, and everybody thinks he's going to be the big king, he's going to deliver him, and all that kind of thing. You know, and I believe God wants to take care of us, he promised you he'd take care of your needs. You know, he's taking care of Joyce here, making her pay 10% of her car bill, that's good, praise the Lord. $100 is better than $1,000, isn't it? I said, isn't it? I don't mean to receive it, I mean to pay it. All right? Now, so Jesus is coming into town here. You know what? I should never go on to those illustrations. I just lose my train of thought totally. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus is doing that, we believe in that being blessed. We believe, though, that God wants to take care of his people. What's he promise you? He says, I know that you have need to eat and to drink and to have clothes to put on. And he said, your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Remember that? Of how much more value are you than the sparrows, than the lilies of the field? So he said, he knows you have need of all those things. He knows he's going to... Well, we've left everything to follow you, his disciples said. And what will happen to us? He said, well, you're going to get houses, lands, brothers, sisters, you know, whole nine yards, both now and in the world to come, eternal life. So God is taking care of you. Amen? But see now, people with this guy coming in, whoo, man, the guy on our team is coming in. The Republicans is coming in. Man, things are going to be better now. Well, you know, they've been in for what, 12 years? You know, how are things today? Have the Republicans helped you? Huh? Praise the Lord. Well, let's get the Democrats back. You know, maybe they're into helping. Maybe they want to do something for me. Hey, now don't let this tape get out, though. Man, people hearing me say stuff. No, but listen. See, people wanted Jesus to fix it up. You know, they would have loved it, you know, if he'd have come down like, you remember how the devil did him up there at the in the wilderness? Put him up on the top of the temple. Hey, jump down. You know, jump down. And the idea is come down, because the idea was that the Messiah was actually going to come down from the pinnacle of the temple. Right? Did you know that? That was the idea. He was going to come floating down, you know, from the temple. Kind of like this. Kind of wearing a dress like Jan Crouch or something. You know, one of those fly dresses, you know. You know, just coming down like this into the temple. He's gonna, you know, wipe out all the bad guys and promote all the good guys, and you know, we're all gonna live happily ever after. See, that's what people are into, but their idea was that they're the good guys and those are the bad guys. Guess what? There weren't any good guys. They're still not. They're still not. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It's just an exciting message to me. Hallelujah. Glad we're all here today. No, but Jesus wanted to do one thing. He wanted to set you free from your sin. You don't have any idea. They had no idea what they were getting set free from. Jesus, come deliver us. Hallelujah. Well, they don't know what they're getting delivered from. They're getting delivered from themselves. They're getting delivered from their sin. They're getting delivered into the kingdom of His dear Son. Thank God. And you know what? It's a constant process. See, once you receive Jesus by faith, I want you to know, don't get so depressed over the fact that you have it shaped up. You know what? That's a complete waste of time. Hallelujah. Anybody say yes? Oh, glory to God. Doesn't that feel good? It's a complete waste of time for you to feel guilty about the fact that you hadn't shaped up. Now, here's what you do. You don't just forget it. Well, what you do is you worship God. Just come into His presence. Say, God, I messed up again. God, I messed up again. I thank You that You love me. See, always keep your door open. Always come in. You remember over in Exodus, I think it was chapter 33, Moses went into the tabernacle, little tent up there, you know, before they had the temple. So Moses went into the tent there at the tabernacle of God, and he talked with God face to face, you know, and went back down into the camp. At the time, the temple was outside the camp because God was mad at him, because, you know, He didn't want to be in and among them, you know, because they'd messed up. So what He does now is the servant of Moses was Joshua. And he says Joshua was a young man. I thought that was interesting. I like that idea. I'll claim to be a young man. Of course, it may apply to some of y'all more than me. It used to apply to me. Now, but he said, Joshua, a young man. Very interesting that he made that distinction. Stayed in the tabernacle. Isn't that good? I mean, he stayed there. He didn't just follow Moses on. Okay, where are we going now? It's like, okay, I can follow Moses, follow the big shot, follow the thing, follow the program, or I could choose to find the presence of God for myself. I could choose to spend time in the presence of God. Now, somebody asks, how to do that? You just decide to do it. What are you talking about? I say, you just decide to do it. Shut the closet, shut the door. I don't care if you're sitting in the bathroom. Shut the door. Say, God, I'm in Your presence. Now, you may think that's ugly. You know, say, you get in the bathroom and, you know, God said in your closet. Well, that's, you know, maybe the closest thing you have to a closet. I don't know. Just someplace where you're totally, where you're undistracted. And you say, God, you know, I just want to dwell in Your presence. I want to be in Your presence. You know what? God'll show up right there. I don't say you have to feel anything. Listen to me. Don't feel anything. I said, don't feel anything. Just come in to make a decision, one place, say, I'm going to spend time in your presence, oh God. Close your eyes, lift your hands, say, Father, I thank you for delivering me from all of my sin. See, you don't have to go in and get all nervous and freaked out because you're coming into the presence of God, because that the veil has already been rent. Does that make sense? Hello? God opened the door. See, I had a big old door, big old veil, big old thing. You know, it's like if they pull the big old curtain back and say, you know, remember the wizard? You know, they're pulling that curtain back, you know, finding the guy back there. Yeah, he wants you to just come right in there. Now that guy wasn't happy, but that's okay. We just pull that, God pulled that curtain way back and said, come on in. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? Do you hear what I'm saying? I said, he said, come in. He didn't say stay out. No trespassing. Huh? He said, come in. So he wants me to come in because he's set me free. And he wants me to know what he did. He wants me to know how. Okay? He wants me to know how that he set me free. He wants me to know that he wants me. On the tape, it's no good when I'm taking my finger and saying, come here. Saying, come in. Listen to me. This is the thing. Is that your life on this earth after receiving Jesus Christ is not about being a good person. Your life on this earth after receiving Jesus Christ is about coming into the presence of God, worshiping Him, getting into His Word. Let His Word transform you. He will transform you by His Word. I said He will transform you by His Word. And then when you miss it again, remember that's called sin? When you miss it again, you go back in that presence of God. Say, God, I thank you that you love me. I sinned again, but I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you that you forgive me. Because a lot of time we don't thank him that he forgave us because we don't think he did. I said, we don't think he did. Anybody like that? Come on. Anybody like that? You go in, you're afraid God had not forgiven you quite yet. See, the reason I say that, and the reason I know I'm right, is because you're still operating without joy. You're still walking around depressed. I can see it. I can hear it. You're still walking around as if something's wrong. Something's deadly wrong. Oh my. Do you understand? Do you understand? It's like you're walking around knowing it's like something is deathly wrong. No, what's deathly wrong is you didn't want to receive forgiveness. You feel better being under guilt and condemnation. You don't feel good going, yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you feel like you're taking something for free. Well, you know what? You are. You legalistic people, you. Well, I like to pay for anything I get. Well, listen, buddy, you ain't got near enough to pay for this. You're so far in debt. Huh? I tell you, you're so far in debt, you will never see the light of day. There's no way you can pay. But Jesus paid it, didn't he? I said, didn't he? He paid it. So that means I can every day come into His presence. I can every day come into the presence of Jesus Christ, come into the presence of my Father who is in heaven and say, hallelujah! Glory. I can really yell. I could do that. And He's not going to go, shh, quiet. There's godly people in here. What's the matter with you? Oh, He loves it. Remember Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And the disciples didn't like it. It was kind of like, oh, they're slobbering all over Jesus. Get him a napkin. No, that's you. He wants you to come in just exactly the way you are, doesn't he? Yeah, but that was before I got saved. No, it means since. He still wants you to come in. Do you hear what I said? Listen, if you've been afraid to come into God because of anything, stop it. Okay? Say, okay. Okay, now the rest of you. Okay. Don't want to leave anybody behind. You want to come on and just come in. Say, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that this body and this blood that I had this morning, that's what you gave me. And now I remember. Said, remember. Okay. Say, now I remember. Oh, yeah. That's what Jesus did. He shed his body and his blood. He poured them out. He lost all of his blood, dribbled all out. It's all gone. Went all, you know, paid for me. Had his body beat up, beat, kicked, everything, destroyed on my behalf so that I could live forever. Now, doesn't mean somebody's not going to kill you for loving Jesus. Might. But you don't care. I mean, your life is not yours anymore. See, once you begin to develop that relationship, and that's what discipleship is. Listen, see, if you're just barely born again, you need to be discipled. Okay? You need to be with somebody, get with somebody. Number one, you need to come more than Sunday morning. I guarantee you that. You need to grow. You need to grow up. You need to hear the Word of God taught by somebody who's been doing it a while. By somebody who's heard God. Somebody who's been in the presence of the Lord. Doesn't mean they're perfect people. It's not. We're not perfect people. We're great examples. We're great examples of imperfect people. Amen. Yeah, see? Praise the Lord. We've got people who know that. Hallelujah. That's right. So listen. From this point on, just say, Jesus, I want to come into your presence. I want to just worship you today. I don't care if it's 10 minutes before you go to work. I don't care what it is. Just take that time. Stop. And then say, God, while you're in there, say, God, make me desire you more. You know what? A lot of time it takes a long time. I don't want you to get frustrated. But a lot of time it takes a long time. You know how long it takes to raise children? Anybody in here? Huh? No, you don't know yet. You don't know how long it takes to raise children yet. You're just getting started. I mean, look at that right there. Isn't that right? Micah, he just didn't know what he's in for, does he? Yeah, you do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It takes 20 years to raise children or more. Or more. Praise the Lord. See, I can't even find my kids. I don't even know where they are. Praise the Lord. Janet, where are your children? Where are your children? Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. We're hoping the girls will turn out. We always said that we made girls better than boys because both our boys had some kind of heart, something or other going on. Jordan had to have open heart surgery when he was like 2. You know, he had some big aorta thing that was, he was a blue baby. And so he had to lay that open, and then he had a hole between his 2 bottom chambers. He was a mess, you know. And then Luke, he had that hole down between the bottom 2. He still swishes, you know. Whoosh, 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 you know, when you hear him. So we just determined, we just kind of held off for a little while and kind of did some mechanical work and retooled the factory and started having girls then, you know, back in 95. So between 85 and 95, there was this kind of a, I don't know what you call it, a hiatus going on. And so we had originally planned on having 3, but once you have 1 girl, you just almost can't and just have not have another one. Just because, you know, I guess you didn't, Deborah. You just quit, you know. Just sorry, Jenny. I know that's what happened to Luke, though. You know, he figured out that the gravy train was over. We kind of figured that out. You know, it's kind of like he was the end of the line until that little girl came along. Then he could see the writing on the wall. His inheritance was. His inheritance was gone. His Xbox was, going for diapers kind of thing. So praise the Lord. It's all good. It's all good. It takes a while to grow kids up. It takes a while to grow you up, doesn't it? Amen. It takes a while to grow me up. That's right. Yeah, Peggy? Yeah? Yeah, lifetime? Yeah, you're not done yet? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, Peg's here without Jim. Y'all want her to talk? No, just... Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what time is it? Okay. Did y'all get anything out of that? If not, well, too bad. Praise the Lord. God sent me this morning. Amen. We'd like to keep you guessing anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good that you don't know what's going on. It's good that the Holy Spirit just kind of shows up when He shows up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, if you're not born again, if you haven't given your life to Jesus because you're afraid, say, Jesus, I need to receive you as my Savior. I give up all of my, I just confess all my sins this morning. I confess. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that you have delivered us from sin. You've delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you, Lord God, this morning that we don't have to suffer under guilt and condemnation any longer because you have already paid the price for our justification. That we might be children of yours. That you are training us through your Spirit. That you are changing us. Not training us, you're changing us. We're being transformed from one degree of glory to the next, from faith to faith, by the renewing of our mind. Father, we thank you right now that we say, I confess all my sin, that I'm sinful and wicked apart from you. And that through Jesus Christ and His blood and His sacrifice on the cross, I will receive salvation from my sin. Salvation. And I will be translated from death unto life because I believe that what Jesus said, He was able to perform. So Jesus, I receive you as my Savior right now. And I desire now to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I desire to know you and to be transformed into a son of God. God doesn't have any daughters, so we're all sons. Even though He's got some daughters. Father, I thank you that I receive Jesus right now and I give you my life so that you will transform me into your image. And when I fail, I will confess and you will forgive me because you've already promised. I walk in forgiveness. Father, I pray for each one of these here today that they release all of their fear and guilt and condemnation. They release all of their fear and guilt and condemnation because they have put their hope in their strength to continue to be and look like a Christian in their own strength. Where the Apostle Paul said, the person who puts his hope and faith in the flesh will always be condemned. But there is no condemnation to those of us who put our hope in the Spirit, by which you have already redeemed us. So I give you praise and I thank you, Lord God, for each one of these today. And I thank you that, Father, we will hear the testimonies of those who have said, you know, from this day forward, I'll no longer be under guilt and condemnation when I fail. And as long as it takes, I will trust that you are transforming me into your image. So I praise you, and I thank you. I lift up every one of these here today, Lord God. I pray for them that they would hear your word, that they would rest and relax. Jesus said, my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that they would rest in your finished provision. And that they would get into your word. And they would come into your presence by just declaring it, no matter where they might be. Find a little place and just say, I'm good. Father, I'm in your presence and I love you and I worship you and I thank you. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for showing me my sins so that I can repent and so that I can grow. And I give you praise and thank you for it. I give you all of my life and all of my troubles, all of my problems, all the things that are coming my way. I give them to you, O Lord God. Thank you for growing me. Thank you for causing character to be built in me, the character of Almighty God. And I give you praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.